So if you could take one thing. Now, we had some practical responses. We had some sentimental things we can't recreate. I'm bringing my guitar with me. I love my guitar. Got that right after my son was born. As I told Kyle, I don't think I can actually get this exact one anymore. I don't think they make that finish anymore. Not sure, but I don't think. But we would all take something. Well, here's the thing. In my notes, I had we would all take something meaningful. You guys didn't quite hit that part. Or something really important. We did better there, so good job. Sometimes I like to be like, what are they going to say? But we had a lot of practical, we had meaningful, all of this stuff. Maybe you have a lot of things. If you're like me, we have a lot of things in our house. You have a lot of things in your apartments. But to pick one might force you to pick something that's really important. And today, we're going to hear Jesus talk about something that is most important. He has actually asked a question about, of all the commandments, of all the laws, of all the things people are supposed to follow, what is the most important? And he's going to respond very simply, loving God, loving others. That's it. So we're going to dive into this simple but very important statement today and kind of look at what it means for us. So think about this, that we need to love God from the inside and show God's love on the outside. That's what this is really going to kind of break down to. We love God from the inside, but we show his love on the outside. So we're going to read our whole passage today, see how Jesus was posed this question, but then how we love God from the inside and show it on the outside. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 12 today. Verses 28 to 34, it's going to be up here on the screens. Feel free to follow along in Bibles, tablets, computers, whatever you have is great. Like I said, we'll read 28 to 34. This is our full passage for the day. And it says this, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these.' 'Well said, teacher,' the man replied. 'You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that the man had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions." So Jesus is questioned by another teacher of the law. This doesn't appear to be one of the group that like tried to trap Jesus last week, as we talked about, but he would have heard the conversation and the debate and heard that Jesus responded well and was impressed by him. So this time, this man asks a genuine question. He's not out to trap Jesus. He poses an honest question, and he says, "Which of the commandments is most important?" And from one of the sources I studied, rabbis would count upwards of 600 statutes within the Old Testament law or things that they felt like they should follow. And oftentimes these rabbis tried to differentiate what was greater, what was least, what was more important, what was less important. So he asks, what is the most important? Jesus responds by citing first what's known as the Shema. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, in which it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Devout Jews would recite this daily. They are familiar with it. But then Jesus tacks on a second piece to this. He says, "The second greatest commandment is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself." Neighbor here is not just about who lives next door. Whoever is around you, whoever is in need. We get that when Luke tells the parable of the Great Samaritan. So Jesus gives these two as the greatest commandments, and not even like a 1A, 1B. It's kind of like we have this first one, and from that, the second flows out. So by loving God with everything we have, loving our neighbors is the outflow. And the man that questioned Jesus likes his answer, like, "Hey, well done, teacher. Good job, Jesus, you got it." And then this man says something really interesting. He says, "Those two commandments are more important than the burnt offerings and sacrifices that they offer." Burnt offerings and sacrifices were a huge deal to Jews in this day. That's why they came to temple. It was a massive practice. But this man, a teacher of the law, said those sacrifices are not as important as loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others. He's getting it. He's kind of getting what Jesus is about. He's getting why Jesus came and shut down temple operations. He gets why Jesus is teaching what he's teaching. And Jesus looks at this man and says, man, he is not far from the kingdom of God. All the other teachers of the law trying to trap Jesus, they're miles away. This guy, he's close because he gets it. He sees what being a follower of Jesus is all about. And it starts with loving God with everything. The whole point of heart, soul, mind, and strength is that we are to love God with everything. bit of us, everything we have. And I actually want to break each one down today just to see, like, is there an area of our lives where we struggle to love God because we need to have them all to fully love God. So we're going to start with the heart, soul. We're going to really focus on the heart here with that. The heart as a muscle, right, it pumps the blood throughout our bodies, keeps that going. It's also responsible for maintaining our cardiac rhythm. So loving God with our whole heart first means that love for God has to flow throughout our entire being. And oftentimes we think about love, when we say the word love, we think about emotions and affection. Now the love of God is way more than an emotion. And I often say that even as we love God, it's more of an action than an emotion. But, and that's true, we're going to get there when we talk about loving our neighbors. But let's talk about emotion for a little bit and loving God with emotion, because as humans, we're given emotions. We have them. Some of us have lots of them. All right? The emotions that we have tend to drive us. If you saw the movie, one of the two that are out, of the movies Inside Out, right? It's all about emotion. The movie shows how different emotions, the emotions of fear, disgust, anger, and joy, how they shape Riley's life, who's the character in the movie there. When different emotions are in control, it's like they're driving. If you see the movie, they're at these control panels up there. But it's like how they drive her life. The emotions drove her. We have a variety of emotions that affect us. Happiness. Happiness is one of our emotions. God doesn't promise happiness. And I hear some pastors sometimes that harp on that. God doesn't want you to be happy. I'm like, I actually think God's okay if you're happy. It might not be what he promises, but he's not opposed to us being happy. So think about what makes you happy. The bird that just flew into the window is probably not happy right now if you heard that. I think that's what that was. Maybe nature makes you happy, right? You just love being out in nature. God created that nature. Your family, you have a wonderful family, and being with them makes you happy. God blessed you with an amazing family. Your hobbies make you happy. God's given you enjoyment for whatever that hobby is. So we give thanks and praise to God for the things that make our hearts happy. Let's go to the other direction from happiness. Let's go to fear. Fear is an emotion. And loving God with fear seems kind of a weird thing to say or tricky. But there's a phrase that we use in Christianity a lot called fear of the Lord. Now, fear of the Lord is not a terrified, trembling type of fear necessarily. It's not the way it's meant to be lived out. But a healthy fear of the Lord isn't about being hurt or punished, but it's a recognition or a reverence of who God is and all that he is. God's the loving Father, and he is the creator and judge of all. God is in total control, and we recognize that. We show reverence to that. That is a fear of the Lord. And we need that recognition of him to love him with our whole hearts. It's in that healthy fear that we love God. And loving God with our fear is also recognizing that God is stronger than any of the fears we might have. Whatever fears we have in life are smaller than God. And I know it's hard to remember that, and it's really hard to put it into action. But when we take our worldly fears to God and we ask for his comfort, we ask for his protection, we ask for his presence, that's loving God with our fear and our whole hearts, because we're remembering that God is bigger than our fears. So take all your emotions to God and give them to him. And loving God with our whole hearts is letting God be that rhythm of our lives, right? Just a rhythm that keeps us going. It's the tempo setter in our life. He drives, he leads, he sets the tempo. We go as God goes. So if loving him with our whole heart sets our direction, sets our tempo, well, then every day we got to be paying attention to him so we know how we are to go. Last week we talked about spending regular time every day with God to get used to hearing his voice and knowing when he's speaking to us. Same thing here. We need to hear from him every day. Maybe for one day he's just like, today you're just going to go about your day. I'm with you. You know I'm here. Just do your day. Maybe today it's, hey, you need to take time out. Break the rhythm of your day. Take time out and talk to that person. Or maybe it's a conviction of that, hey, today you need to call that person and clear the air about whatever the issues you're having are. Or maybe it's, hey, today you need to relent to the fact that you're really stressed out and overworking and you need to slow down and take a breath today. The more we get used to that and letting God be the tempo setter, the more we get into a rhythm with God. When we love God with our whole heart, we let him be the rhythm of our lives. So loving God with our hearts includes loving God with emotion and loving God by letting him be that rhythm of our lives. So we love God with our heart and soul. And then we love God with our minds. With our minds, our brains, our minds. It's how we process information. Any information that comes in, it's how we sort through it. And it's also just what thoughts come into our head. So loving God with our minds means we take the information we're given, but we need to see it kind of through the lens of God. As I would say it, kind of through like a God filter. Think about filters, right? You all know, if you've heard me talk at all, Jeff loves his coffee. I come up here every Sunday with it, but I don't eat the grounds or the beans straight up out of the filter. Now, chocolate-covered espresso beans, it's a whole thing. Your boy loves those, all right? But the ones that are in the filter, there's water that goes over them. And then it filters out all the gritty parts, all the whole grounds that wouldn't taste as good. So what comes out, what's left after it's filtered through is that delicious, smooth, hot, life-giving nectar that I drink every day and makes me an infinitely happier person. The filter takes out what shouldn't be there. So how do we process the information we receive and we run it through a God filter, right? So think about for a minute, you hear something in any way, or you read something, you're taking in information that you do not like, or that riles you up, or it doesn't sit right with you. Where does your mind go? If it's an individual that you don't like what you hear about, do you start thinking about revenge or bad thoughts about that person? Does it make you just really angry? Do you just get super judgmental about the issue or about a person? Now let's run those filters, those thoughts through that God filter. Is that anger righteous anger? Jesus-style anger, right? He got angry when he flipped the tables at the temple. Is your anger because whatever happened really goes against the heart of God? Or is it just you're mad, you just want to be vengeful? Or the judgment you feel. Is the judgment coming because what happened goes against God? Or is the judgment because you're comparing yourself to that other person or that situation, or you're putting them up against your own standard and not God's? So running that information through the God filter helps our minds know what we need to clear out. What is on our minds that is not of God? So we want to try to process that information we get, and there is a lot out there, right? A ton of information that we can take, but process it and run it through the way God would. But what about the times when the information we get, we're taking in, we're trying to run it through that God filter, but it's still just really confusing, or we have questions, things don't make sense, confusion, right? That calculator of life gives you an error message. It doesn't work. Loving God with all our minds means we give God that confusion, or we go to him with the questions, and we may not get straight up answers all the time, but we still give them to God. And too often, I feel like we might get told that having questions or being confused is a lack of faith, and I don't believe that. Not going to God and working with him about that confusion or talking about questions with other trusted followers of Jesus, that might show a lack of faith. But giving God the confusion, giving God our questions, what's on our mind, that is loving God with our whole minds. Take him the questions or the confusion about what's going on in the world, what's going on in our communities, what's going on in your life. That's loving God with your mind. Because it's trusting God with the confusion or with the questions. It's knowing that even though I have questions and I'm confused, God still loves me and I'm actually getting closer to him when I work through them. Look at the Psalms for proof. To just list off a few, Psalm 6, 13, 74, 79, there's probably others, use the phrase, "How long, O Lord?" These are lament psalms. This is not a happy, "How long, O Lord?" These are lament psalms, laments. My good friend Brian James McMahon says, lament is the mourning, the presence of things that ought not to be. The psalmist is wondering about things. Things aren't going great. They might be confused. They might need answers. They take them to God. So here's an exercise. When you're confused, when you have questions, pray or write your own lament psalm. You don't have to share it with anybody else, but take it to God in that way. That's loving God with your mind because you're taking him the confusion, the chaos, maybe a lack of understanding, and you're giving it to him. That's what he wants and desires. That's how we love him with our whole mind. And another part of our mind is simply what we think about. What do we think about? The Apostle Paul gives us a good baseline of what we should think about in Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I'm sure all of you, all the time in your minds, are only thinking about things that are true, noble, right, pure, praiseworthy, admirable. Yeah, we're not always like that. But the thoughts we have tend to lead us to words or to actions. So loving God with our thoughts leads us to loving others like God. So think about what you think about. Throughout the day, take stock. Where does your mind go? Does it go to thoughts that don't honor God? A few examples could look like, does somehow your mind goes to somebody that really hurt you in the past? And your mind goes to, maybe something not so great could happen to that person because I think they kind of deserve it. Or maybe you saw somebody earlier in the day at the gym, at the store, at work that's pretty attractive. And later in the day, there's a second, third, or fourth thought about them. Or does your mind ever go, man, I am so much better off than everybody else. My job's better, my family's better, I got more money, I got bigger muscles, and I am just awesome and they're not. You kind of get the idea here, right? These are thoughts that don't honor God or reflect him well. That's the polar opposite of loving God with our thoughts. So how do we honor God with our thoughts? First, recognize those thoughts that aren't from God and get rid of them. And then reorient your mind to the things that do honor God. What is noble? What is right? Whatever is pure? Whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy? Maybe you say, God's put that person in my life, and they've done so much for me. It's a family member, a friend, a coworker, and you come to God, and you think about them with a heart of gratitude or a mindset of gratitude. Or there's that person that was rude to the barista at the coffee shop earlier, and your mind, instead of being angry at him, goes to, man, what's going on in their life that maybe made them act like that? I should pray for them with a heart of compassion. I should think about that barista with a heart of comfort and a mind of comfort. Or think about the good in the midst of the bad in the world and give God thanks and praise for the good that is happening. And no, I'm not saying ignoring the bad things and think that the world is always just rainbows, butterflies, and white chocolate chips. It's not. We talked about seeing the bad last week, but we do need to see the good that is going on because God is here and active and he's worthy of praise. So we think about that too. Fix your mind and your thoughts on that and love God with all your mind. And then finally, with all your strength. Strength is the capacity to withstand force or withstand pressure. When I got married a few years ago, well, longer than a few years ago now, 15 years ago. It was a long time. Woo, 15. Tungsten rings were really popular. I have a tungsten wedding ring. And these are, I remember picking out two that I liked from the case. And guys like, yeah, those are the two most popular among all the guys right now. Tungsten is a very strong metal. That's why I picked it. It doesn't scratch easily. It won't be crushed by a force or a pressure. It is just really strong. Loving God with our strength is what it takes to withstand force or pressure. And that force or pressure can come externally. It can come from outside. Everything around you feels like it's crumbling or pushing on you. Feels like work sucks. You have no money. People are expecting too much of you. The kid's school needs donations, the faucet is leaking, and your old college friends want to relive the glory days in a not-so-great way. External pressure. Maybe all this together makes you feel weak or defeated or you're at your wit's end or you're just too tempted to do something you shouldn't do, so you decide to say, forget it, I quit, I'm done. Or maybe the thought process is the other way, right? Like, I can take it all on, I can do it all by myself. So you're loaded up, I'm like, I'm going to take it on, life circumstance, pre-workout, you're shadow boxing, you're ready to go at it. Here's the thing. Neither of those are loving God with all your strength. Because the first one is saying nothing is strong enough or capable enough to take this on. The second is loving strength, but it's loving my own strength. Loving God with our strength is going to God when we're ready to throw in the towel and feel like it's too much. It takes strength to say, God, I'm not strong enough, but you are. It takes strength to say, God, I feel really weak. Help me in that weakness. Loving God with our strength is taking the desire to fight or the desire to conquer to God, saying, God, I'm willing, I feel ready, guide me to fight in the right way. Loving God with our strength is taking the pressures and the forces that are coming against us, taking them to God so he can be the strength for us or guide us in the strength he has given. That's the external pressures. Then there's the internal pressures. Nobody's really pushing it on me, but man, I just feel this pressure I'm putting on myself. Right? I'm putting so much pressure on myself. Or there's a force that's like, I don't love me right now, so how can God love me or how can I love God? These are hard situations. And when we're here, I would encourage us to go back to how and by whom we were created. Created by God in the image of God. God loves what he created and he wants to be loved by what he created. If your mindset is, I screwed up, well, God loves the screw up who comes back to him and admits it. I can't handle the weight or the pressure of everything. I failed. I'm not enough. No, you're only not enough when you keep trying to do it all alone because we were never created to be alone. Loving God is saying, I can't do it on my own, but with God I can. Loving God is saying, I don't feel like enough, but in the eyes of God I am. That's loving God with our strength, because we're taking the pressure and the weakness and giving it to the one who created us and the one who is strong enough. If you feel like a giant mess and you don't love it, love God and take him the mess. He'll help you clean it up, but you got to take it to him. That's take strength. Tow it, drag it, put it on a forklift, but take it to God. Loving God with all our strength is giving ourselves to God and remembering that us and our lives is what he wants. He just wants us. No matter what others think about us or what we even think about ourselves. Because God can handle the pressure that we feel, whether we put it on ourselves or somebody else puts it on us. Loving God with our strength is giving those pressures to him because he can withstand them. So take loving God with your heart and soul. Add in loving God with your mind. Fold in loving God with your strength. And we've loved every God with everything we are. But now there's the outflow of that, and that is loving our neighbor. We've had different discussions throughout this series about loving others and really serving others, what that looks like. Brief summary is a reminder. Serving someone and loving them is truly about them, what they need, serving their need. Not serving to feel useful, but actually serving to meet a need. Maybe it's practical meals, groceries, lawn mowing, babysitting. Could be financial, you're helping with money or an item. Might be time, you're giving someone your time, you're giving them a shoulder to cry on or a shoulder to lean on, or you're just plain showing up for them. Talked with Stacy over the last several months, seeing the value and the impact of just showing up for people. Don't miss that when it comes to loving your neighbors. But then there's that word neighbor. And what the people in Jesus' day tended to do and what we can do is spend more time trying to define who our neighbor is than actually serving and loving our neighbor. It's the whole point, again, of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Neighbors change. We've lived in our house for 12 years, and one house to the side and the house directly behind us has had three different homeowners in those 12 years. Neighbors change. Neighbors can be anyone. Neighbors can be that nice lady coming into the coffee shop, the rude customer at Target, the coworker you're in the cubicle next to that you really can't stand because they talk really loud, or the boss, supervisor, the teacher you just really vibe with. All of them are loved by God. Remember that. They're all loved by God. Then all of them should be loved by us with the love of God. Now, loving doesn't mean you become best friends forever with them. You're inviting them over this afternoon to watch the Packer game. Go, Pack, go. It just means you offer grace, you offer compassion, you give them the truth, and you see them as God does, no matter how flawed, no matter how perfect they might seem. That's the action side of love, not the emotion. That's the action. Because people are going to be people, and they're going to act in a way that makes us feel like they don't deserve love, but we can't control how other people act. We can't control how we act. We control that we love God with every part of us. And we can control that out of that love for God comes love for our neighbors. So we love others just like we love God. Love from the inside out. We'll wrap up here. Start with the inside. Love God with your whole heart, with your emotions. Give your emotions to God. And then with that rhythm, let God be what keeps your tempo. And then love God with your mind. Take information. There's a lot of it out there, but run it through that God filter. Separate out the thoughts that aren't from God. And think about what you think about, what comes into your head. Get rid of the thoughts that don't honor God. And then love God with all your strength. Loving God with your strength means being willing to give the pressures you feel to him. Give him the questions. Give him that pressure, though. Whether it comes internally or externally, remember, with God, we're strong enough and we're enough, and that takes strength. And then pull all those together, and the outflowing is loving others. Loving those around you and treating them as children of God. Love God from the inside and show God's love outside. Let's pray. God, I thank you just for the simplicity of Jesus' answer today. To love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others, God. I pray that we would take that simple statement and live it in our lives in a huge way. That we would love you with all parts of us, God, everything in us. We would give you our hearts and love you from our hearts, God. We would love you from our minds. We would love you with our strength. And God, if any one of those in particular is more difficult for anybody, God, I pray that you would put that on their hearts this morning. And then God, I pray that we would all love our neighbors, the ones we want to love, the ones we don't want to love, that we would show you them. God, that we would just give ourselves to you, and then through that, show you to those around us, God. So we thank you for giving us these words. And God, we thank you again for this morning. In your name, amen.